Kia ora, this program is brought to you by New Zealand On Air and Wellington Access Radio. Make your voice heard.
Collaborative voices.
Kia ora tātou, my name is Michael Woodcock. I'm from the Federation of Voluntary Welfare Organisations, and my co-host Roz Rice from NZCOS is unfortunately off sick today, so I'm here with Deborah Morris-Travers from Barnardos, and Deborah is the Advocacy Manager at Barnardos, so welcome Deborah.
Kia ora.
And we're planning to talk today about the upcoming referendum, which you're going to get the voting papers in your mailbox very shortly, coming out at the end of July, and you have to get those voting papers back by the 21st of August. And that's the referendum, which has really been around the whole repeal of Section 59, which we'll explore in a little bit, but that referendum's going to ask you, should a smack as part of a good parental correction be a criminal offence in New Zealand? And Deborah's involved in a number of things in terms of her work at Barnardos and working in the protection and advocacy for children. And so really today's program, because Deborah and I are on the same page, and so is my co-host really, if she was here, that we think that in this referendum coming up that the answer to give is to actually vote yes in support of that, and that's really is to support what the reform was in 2007. And we're going to explore what that reform meant and what's happening now for children and why voting yes would be a good outcome. So welcome. Why don't we start by you just giving us a little overview about some of the things you're doing at Barnardos, and an advocacy person at Barnardos, I'm sure, is an exciting role. So
it sure is an exciting role, and there really are never enough hours in the day for the work that needs to be done on behalf of New Zealand children. And so my role is really to ensure that Barnardos is an effective voice for children. And so we do a lot of training with our staff and with external people as well to support people to be able to speak on behalf of children. But very importantly too, to make sure that children are able to be heard in their own right. So we are always looking at opportunities for enabling children to stand up and say what they think about the issues that are affecting them. And of course it's their right to be heard under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. But it can be quite challenging for us as adults to find ways that work well for children to let them be heard. And in terms of the issues that Barnardos prioritises, one of course is around the safety of children, you know, within their homes and communities. And that's why we've been a strong advocate of the child discipline law from the time that the bill was introduced into Parliament in June 2005. We also do a lot of work around child poverty because we have 25% of New Zealand children living in poverty. Mm. And primarily the children who are most affected by poverty are Pacific Islands children and Māori children. And around both of these issues, the protection of children within their homes and communities and also child poverty, there are lasting impacts, and we end up really paying down the line if we don't protect our children from violence and or neglect, and if we don't protect them from poverty. So the issues that we're working on are important social justice issues, but actually they are issues with a huge economic cost associated with them too. We've got research showing that child maltreatment in New Zealand costs the nation $2 billion a year. Mm. And that's an enormous burden for a small country to carry. And, you know, there are so many very, very good reasons for us to make sure that our children are nurtured positively, that they're healthy and they're well, and when they get to school they can engage in the education system and later on become productive citizens. So these are issues that should concern all New Zealanders, and it's exciting work to be involved in.
It is, and I'm just thinking when you're talking there about as a nation we've got, you know, you'd have to say we've got a history of a history of violence in many ways, not only physical, but maybe even in terms of the way in which children are talked to, or you know, verbal abuse and those sort of things as well. And I mean, I'm thinking about growing up in my own neighbourhood, and I'm, you know, in my very early 50s, but I can, you know, people in the neighbourhood getting, you know, what would be seen in the neighbourhood as hidings were known and lived with. So, you know, and we are a nation of quite... we are hard on children and people in a sense too, aren't we? There is a sort of a history of some sort of underlying current of violence. We're probably, do you think that's like a...
Yeah, I think that's actually absolutely true. And you make a really important point that, you know, over many years, in fact, generations, we have raised our children quite harshly and we've had a quite punitive view of children. But we're hard on ourselves too, I think, as New Zealanders.
Right.
And it may be, you know, associated with our colonial history. But when New Zealanders, you know, when New Zealand was settled and Europeans came to New Zealand, they brought with them certain religious views and also legal views about children and attitudes that were quite punitive. And so we have had on in our law books a number of laws that have reflected English law, and they haven't really taken into account the needs of children. And so what's happening at the moment is there's a big change occurring within New Zealand society where we are looking at how we have traditionally treated children mm-hmm. in the past and whether or not that's appropriate for this day and age, because right now we know more about child development and parenting than we've ever known before. And for instance, there is a great deal of science available now around infant brain development. And right from the time of conception and then birth and in those very early 3 to 5 years of a child's life, the brain is making very important connections that will set the scene for their physical and mental health and also for their ability to be educated and learn language. And then also the foundations are set for how they will relate to other people. So if children are raised in homes where there is that verbal abuse that you mentioned before and also, you know, physical assaults happening, it causes a lot of stress for small children, and those stress hormones that are created prevent the brain from developing adequately. And so knowing that and knowing everything else we now know about child development and the different ages and stages that they go through, and let's face it, those ages and stages can be very challenging for us as adults, but understanding more about those ages and stages and being able to relate to a child and say, okay, well, you know, they're running around, you know, like a mad thing because they've got so much energy to burn. They're touching everything, tasting everything because they're exploring their world. And for us as adults and as parents, understanding what it's like for the child is a really important thing. So with that knowledge has come a shift in belief about how we ought to parent. And there's an understanding now that we can get better behaviour from our children if we parent them in positive, warm ways. Absolutely, children need structure and they need boundaries, and it's imperative that parents do make sure that there's discipline there so that the structure and boundaries are available to children, because that provides security. But we know that our children's behaviour over a 4-year period is likely to be much better if they are being parented in a positive way without the use of violence. Mm-hmm. If they're being hit, then their behaviour is more likely to be disruptive, they will be disrespectful, and their behaviour will get worse. And this is why the physical punishment of children can be a risk factor for child abuse, because it doesn't improve a child's behaviour, the behaviour is likely to get worse, and so if violence is the norm, then there's also a risk that there'll be higher levels of violence used to try and bring that child into line.
Right, because I was just thinking that earlier on my comment about, say, our history, and when you think back, say, you know, you and I would have grown up in a school system where the strap or caning, some form of physical punishment. I can remember at primary school, you know, girls could regularly get strapped every day, same child. So in those, and some of the results of those, that physical punishment at a school would be severe assault cases today, I suspect, in terms of marks they left with people, but also the psychological marks of people. You're probably running through my mind is people I can still remember at primary school who probably had disadvantaged mm-hmm. life to start with, and so some form of physical punishment was part of home and school. But I'm wondering then, in terms of, are you seeing changes? Have grandparents and great grandparents, are the grandchildren today? I'm thinking of my own family in terms of my own family history, and then that I've got grandchildren, and the way in which their parents are don't hit, are tested by their children in terms of children's behaviour, but time out is a big thing with I don't think we had time out. You probably got sent outside when you were a kid once. But so there's been new. There seems to be some new. I'm wondering whether grandparents and great grandparents have helped make some of that change, because I think they're softer than they used to be.
Yeah, there definitely is change happening between the generations. And it is interesting because when the new law was being debated in Parliament between 2005 and 2007, a lot of the opposition to that actually came from older New Zealanders.
Right.
And I think it was a perception that perhaps grandparents were being told that they had done things wrong in their day.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, attitudes and behaviours are changing. And so a lot more parents today are looking for more positive ways to guide their children. And they want to be able to do it without the use of violence, because they understand that if you hit a child, you're teaching the child that it's okay to hit. And, you know, we've had a lot of emphasis in recent times on the fact that it's not okay to hit an adult. And we often say, well, if it's not okay to hit an adult, how can it possibly be okay to hit a child? So the younger generations of parents are the ones who seem to be leading this change.
Right.
And even since the law was changed in 2007, there's research showing that there's a real hunger amongst parents for information about positive ways to discipline children and to not hit them. So time out is certainly one. And the removal of privileges is an important one.
Right.
I've got a 4-year-old, and so I live this stuff every day.
Right.
And I know that, it's really powerful to be able to say there'll be no television today, and, or treat foods and that kind of thing. And so she responds very well to that. But very importantly, making sure that the majority of our attention as parents is on the good behaviour, because ultimately what our children want is our attention. And if we're putting our attention into the positive and the good behaviour that's happening, then you'll get more of the good behaviour.
Right.
But if it's the bad behaviour that gets most of our attention, then you're going to get more of that bad behaviour, because they are really craving our attention as parents. So there's definitely a sea change happening within New Zealand, with younger parents saying, yeah, there's got to be a better way. And I grew up in the 70s, and I was quite severely physically punished as a child. But as a parent, I've decided that I've got to do it differently. And so it's called conscious parenting. It's about reflecting on how we
right.
were parented
mm-hmm.
as children and
yes.
saying, okay, so what parts of our childhood do we want to bring to our parenting today, and what parts of our childhood do we need to leave behind? And then when we're parenting, just being really aware of how we sound and how we're acting, and understanding that children are modelling us as well. And so, if they're being disruptive and speaking, in a bad way, then it's likely that that's what they're observing from adults around them too.
Yeah, that's actually there's some really interesting stuff in there, and I think maybe when we come back, we might just take a little bit of time out and reflect on some of that, and then come back and pick up on around that whole positive parenting shift and what the repeal of the Act in 2007 might have done, and why we would continue to support that. So Deborah actually got to pick the track today, and she's picked a track from Supergroove called Can't Get Enough.
For better, for worse, for what it's worth. Sick and miserable, kids upon the earth. Mixing up a storm, brewing up a tornado.
Having an abundance of platonic relationships, reminiscent of my man, Mike Plato.
I was running down the street, just screaming, I was blind, but I lost my voice like I lost my mind. And I couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another, couldn't get another.
thanks to our guest, Deborah Morris-Travers, for choosing that track. And she had very short notice, and I said, hey, what song would you like off this? So thank you. We were just, before we went to the soundtrack, we were talking about, really, there's been a trend, and a positive trend. And off-air, Deborah and I were already talking, and I shouldn't have lumped her in the early 50s age group, because she's not. But there are generations, mine and going back and even going forward, where we grew up with physical violence as being an expectation around being punished for misbehaviour. And I know as a grandparent now that I constantly look at ways of being positive to my grandchildren and constantly telling them how marvellous they are, and knowing that even those little things in your life, when you get to an adult and you're trying to leave behind all the negative voices that are in your head, so to have a head full of positive voices. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that whole positive ways in which we can raise children, both as a parent and grandparent, a great-grandparent. But also let's just, in 2007, because this whole referendum thing came out of the repeal of what was called Section 59, and then the referendum came out of the fact that the law changed. So what actually changed in 2007?
Well, a law was passed that removed a defence. So previously in the Crimes Act, and it's quite an old piece of law actually, 1961 Crimes Act, there had been a clause in that law, and it meant that if a parent or caregiver hit a child or seriously assaulted a child and they were charged by the police, if they went to court, then they could use the law as a defence. And what the defence said was that a parent or caregiver or a place, a person in place of a parent or caregiver could assault a child so long as it was reasonable force. And so people would go to court and they would say, well, I used reasonable force in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was there'd been some people who were charged with very seriously assaulting the children, and they ended up in court. Their lawyers successfully used that part of the law to get them acquitted, so they got off those charges of assault. Now, what the law effectively did was it made children the only group of citizens in New Zealand where if they were assaulted, there was such a defence.
Right.
So it discriminated against them, and it meant that children had less legal protection than all other New Zealanders, and in fact, less legal protection than animals had, which is obviously not right. Children deserve to have the same legal protection as everybody else in the country, particularly given how vulnerable they are. So the law changed, and what the law now says, the purpose of the law is to allow children to live free from violence, and that is something that we should all aspire to. It says in the law that parents cannot use force for the purposes of correction. So that means that if your child has done something wrong, mm-hmm. then you need to find another way to correct their behaviour, not hit them or beat them.
Right.
But there are other very important clauses in the law that say that it is okay to use force in certain circumstances. For example, during the normal course of performing your parenting duties, sometimes we have to restrain a child. We have to pick them up from a dangerous situation and remove them. We do sometimes have to pick them up and physically put them into time out or hold them down to put their nappies on. So when we're performing the normal parenting duties, we can use force of that nature. There are other circumstances where we can use force too. If the child's behaviour is really disruptive, if they are harming property or hurting another person, then we can use force. But because the overall purpose of the law is to allow them to children to live free from violence, that force needs to be non-violent. So it does need to be of the type that I've just described.
Sort of pick up and move.
That's
away.
Right.
Sit over there.
Yeah.
Right.
So the law is very clear that it is now illegal to hit children, and if people are charged with assaulting their child, they cannot claim a legal defence of reasonable force. Very importantly, the police, every 6 months, they release statistics, and it shows in those statistics that the police are prosecuting those who seriously assault their children. They're not prosecuting people who lightly or occasionally smack a child, and it comes through very clearly in the data from police that they are concentrating on situations of more serious levels of violence.
Right.
They're also really interested in the safety of children if there is other violence in the home. For example, domestic violence happening in the home, then they will be paying close attention to the safety of the children in those homes too. But the police have discretion in the way they administer the law, and it seems from those statistics that they're being very sensitive and sensible about how they're administering the law. And one other important part of the law is that it will be subject to a full review. So although we've got this referendum coming up towards the end of July, the law is going to be thoroughly reviewed by the government at the end of the year, and that review will tell us more about how it's working.
Right. Well, let's pick up on the referendum, because there's been a lot of discussion. It's interesting, actually, there's been a tide change since those who were against the repeal in 2007 and then who initiated the referendum. And there's been a tide change, because a lot of people think that the $9 million being spent on it is a waste of money. We've heard that the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition both say that they think it's a waste, and that things have moved on and they themselves aren't voting. But we'll talk about why, in fact, we should be voting and why we should be voting yes. But there is some confusion around that wording. Should a smack as part of a good parental correction be a criminal offence in New Zealand? Now, the temptation there for a lot of people is to say no. But really, the campaign is about voting yes, because if you vote yes, you'll support that change, which what you're saying is that we're seeing a sea change in people's attitude, that they can raise a child in a different way. Because you're even, when you talk about that you can pick a child up and remove them away from something or stop them from doing something, that on a child has a big impact anyway. They probably cry when you pick them up and shift them, because so it shows you that the impact of even a smack then has, because just being physically removed upsets a child and they know they've already done wrong. So we're seeing parents, and you're seeing in your work, that parents want to raise children in a different way, which is really what the law was trying to make happen. And so why when it arrives in my letterbox, why when I support the repeal that happened in 2007, my temptation is to abstain. So why should I vote yes and partake when I think the whole thing's a waste of time and the change has been really worthwhile and things have moved on?
Okay, a couple of reasons. First of all, the question, should a smack as part of good parental correction be a criminal offence in New Zealand? That question suggests that hitting children is part of good parenting practice when it's not.
Right.
It also suggests that good parents are being criminalised by the law, and they are not. So we need to really get through the nonsense part of the question and say, well, what is this really asking? And what this question is really asking is, should children be protected in law from assault? And of course they should. And so we can vote yes, knowing that a yes vote supports a law that's working well, that a yes vote protects children, and that a yes vote supports parents to use positive parenting techniques. So, and it's really important to engage, I think, because the sponsors of this question, first of all, they had a petition and they gathered lots of signatures to force the referendum. Mm-hmm. But they have phrased this question deliberately in a way to try and get a particular outcome. They want to be able to put political pressure on the government to change the law. Mm-hmm. So we need to participate in this democratic process. And the strongest possible way that we can stand up for children is to stand up and vote yes. So if people decide, well, it's a nonsense question and I'm going to abstain, it actually allows people who support the use of violence against children, it gives them a free run. And we think it's important for people to stand up and say that we are not fooled by the question, and right, we're going to stand up for children and we're going to vote yes.
Right, because to abstain then is to have a low turnout, but then there still might be other people then that will vote no because of the sort of misleading slant of that question. So a high turnout is good, so to vote is the answer, and then to vote yes to support what we're seeing that you're talking about is a change in attitude and the way in which people are looking for positive ways to be a parent, really.
That's right, and a yes vote is really about voting for a positive future for New Zealand, because children are going to be much more productive, responsible citizens if they are parented without the use of violence. And if people want more information, they can have a look at yesvote.org.nz. And there on the site, there's a lot of information about the referendum and the law, but there are also links to information about positive parenting. So if people want to learn more about how to parent their children without hitting them, they can go to yesvote.org.nz and link into some information about positive parenting, or they can ring Bernardo's or Plunkett and get information.
great, because we haven't touched on that, but that's been one of the heartening things, I think, in terms of like Plunkett and Barnardo's, who are behind the repeal in 2007 and supporting the yes vote. And I think that gives so much credibility to people who are working with children, who see everyone's from good to bad parenting, are saying, hey, we've got to leave the law as it was.
Well, that's an important point, because the organisations that support children and families are also the very same organisations who support the law. And we are working in communities up and down the country, enabling parents to parent their children in the best possible way. And we're also the organisations who support this law. We work in partnership with parents, and we believe it's important for parents to know that, you know, how to parent their children most effectively.
Now, you have a program yourself on the Access up in Kapiti Coast, so maybe the people up that way can have a listen in. And I think that the issue is so important that after the referendum, we would invite you back, and we'll have a program that just focuses on what are some of the new sort of skills that parents can have in terms of raising their children, what grandparents too, who would have grown up in violent households and violent schools, can look at ways in which they can be better grandparents too. So thanks, Deborah, for coming in, and I'll be voting, and I will be voting yes, and let's hope that the change that happened in 2007 stays, and we become a better country, and we have children who grow up with positive voices in their head.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That program was brought to you by New Zealand On Air. Wellington Access Radio is proud to use Concerto Networks for our IT needs.